Philippians chapter 3. It's going to take me a long time to get through this chapter. So just let me give you something to chew on. All right. Let's see. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Let the church say amen. Father, add thy blessing to the reading of your word. Cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, fill me with your spirit. Help me to be a blessing. Hide me behind the cross of Christ. And do a work in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. We've been talking about rejoicing. We've been talking about joy. We've been talking about this thing that only God can give. And a whole lot of people are saved and they don't have it. They don't know where to find it. It cannot be manufactured by man. It's a God thing. And Paul had it. And Paul wanted Philippi to have it. Those Christians that were Philippian Christians in that church. He wanted them to have joy. So he writes this letter from prison, encouraging them to have what all of them can have. There are some things financially that some people can have and others can't. Ethnically, some things people can be, others can't. There are just some things in life that circumstantially limit us from enjoying some of the things we'd like to enjoy. But if you're a child of God, regardless of who you are, where you're from, or what's happened in your past, you can have joy. But you got to have it God's way. Joy comes from a single mind. Everybody say a single mind. And then we looked in the next chapter, chapter 2, joy comes from a submissive mind. And we spent the entire chapter really dealing with this submissive mind. The exhortation to a submissive mind. We dealt with the epitome of the submissive mind in Jesus Christ. We dealt with the execution of the submissive mind. Work out your own salvation. And then the last several weeks we dealt with examples of the submissive mind. Paul told us about Timothy and he told us about Epaphroditus. And he said these are two people that had joy and they got joy by being submissive. You ought to know that by now. In chapter 3, he's going to add on to this series, if you would. Joy comes from a single mind. Joy comes from a submissive mind. Number 3, joy comes from a spiritual mind. You can't be carnal and have joy. Spiritual mind. Paul says, I'll tell you why. There are some saved people with the spirit inside of them that don't have joy. Here's the problem. They have the spirit, but the spirit doesn't have them. So they're miserable. They've got a master of ceremonies living inside of them, and yet they're still trying to run the show. They've got a boss living inside of them, and yet they're still trying to be the boss. They've got a conductor, but they're singing off their own music. They've got a king, but they're sitting on the throne. And so they are spirit indwelt, but they're not spirit filled. And so they're living without joy. Beloved, listen to me. Regardless of how much you really know it, people can see you don't have joy. I can see it from here. I can see it from here. I can see it when you're singing. I can see it when you're sitting. I can see it when I'm preaching. I can see it when I'm teaching. I can see it during the midst of trials. I'm not saying that everything in our life is agreeable, that everything in our life is positive, and everything in our life is enjoyable. I'm just simply saying this joy can be maintained in the realm of spirituality. At some point in our Christian life, we've got to graduate from this mundane muck and mire of carnality, and we have to understand that in our flesh dwelleth no good thing. They that of the flesh cannot please God. I've got to please God by cooperating with the Spirit of God. My mind's got to be single. My mind's got to be submissive. But my mind has got to be spiritual. And tonight, for just about four more minutes or so, I want to remind you about three things. Paul tells them about this spiritual mind. He gives them a rallying cry. Write that down. It's point number one, a rallying cry. Here he is. Hey, spiritually minded people, let me rally you together. Let's have a pep talk for all of the spiritual folk. I'm asking you tonight, you want to be spiritual? You say you're spiritual. You're trying to live spiritual. Your goal is spirituality. Paul says, come in, team. Let's have a pep talk. Notice, first of all, the proceeding discussion. What's next? He begins Philippians chapter 3 as demonstrative of a good Baptist preacher. Finally! And he's only halfway through. He'd make a good Baptist preacher, wouldn't he? How many of you know when the preacher says finally, that doesn't mean anything? How many of you know when the testifier says finally, that doesn't mean anything? But anyway, a rallying cry. The preceding information, this word finally doesn't mean the end. It really means for the rest. Now, what else I have to say? Let's continue the discussion. Let's add on to where we left off. Let's keep this thing moving. Remember Timotheus? Oh, yeah, he had joy because he was a confidant, a companion. You remember Epaphroditus? He had joy because he was a confidant. These fellas learned that you don't get joy from being selfish. You get joy from being selfless. You get joy. They had joy. Timothy helped me in the work. Epaphroditus greeted me while I was in prison. And by doing what God wanted them to do for other people, God blessed them as themselves. They had joy. Now, finally, moving along, he says. Let me talk to y'all. Come in, team. Come in. The preceding discussion leads him to encouraging to make a personal decision. Rejoice. Rejoice! Here's what he's saying. Child of God, celebrate. Celebrate! Here's what he's saying. Have a good time! He's saying, get your praise on. Be excited about something. That's what the word rejoice means. Be exuberant. Be excited. Be ecstatic. Wait a minute now. He said, rejoice! Wipe that frown off your face. Come on, I'm preaching now. I'm talking to the team. I mean, if you want to go out and make a touchdown, you need to get to play, right? I'm trying to tell you, trying to live for God. You know what your spiritual people need to do? You need to learn to get that frown off your face. Get them lemons out your mouth. Get that doom and gloom. Some Christians are just doom and gloom. Everybody's met somebody that's just doom and gloom. I stand out there on Sunday morning, and some people I know when they come through the line, me and my wife look at each other. What's it going to be this week? Bad headache, high sugar, toe ache, ingrown toenail, pink eye, mumps, knees, jicky ball. I mean, they never come through the line and say, oh, we enjoyed the service. We enjoyed the choir. We enjoyed the message. I mean, they come through the line and the greeting is, you wouldn't believe how much I suffered this week. I'm not saying that we don't all go through something, but Paul says, if you really want to have joy, take some time with your own mouth and celebrate. Amen. I'm almost done. The preceding discussion, the personal decision, and now the particular dimension in the Lord. In the Lord. Could you say that with me? In the Lord. Pastor, you don't know what you're going, you don't know what I'm going through. Well, he didn't tell you to rejoice about that. Pastor, you ain't seen my bank account. He didn't say rejoice about your bank account. Pastor, you didn't hear the doctor report. He didn't say rejoice about the doctor report. Well, Pastor, my car's all broke down. He didn't say rejoice about your car. Well, Pastor, I got people that don't treat me right. He didn't say rejoice about them. Well, Pastor, I've got some burdens on my back that I tell you what, I wouldn't have picked them up if I could have. He didn't say rejoice about your burdens. He said rejoice. Here's the dimension that should never cause you to tap out on your rejoicing. Rejoice in the Lord. I know people treat you bad. I know money seems to disappear. I know your health can fail. I know your friends can forsake you. I know your enemies can get on your nerves. I know your body can break down. I know your mind can seem like it gets lost. I know your finances can go run amok. I know people around you can act like they don't care. I know that those that you put the most faith in can abandon you when you need them most, but I know something about my God. He's good all the time. He's always faithful. He's always loving. He's always there. He's always true. He's always merciful. He's always gracious. You can celebrate today, not because of bad stuff, but because of a good God. Amen. Now I'm finished. Stop dooming and glooming. And leave the building. And by the way, don't wait till Thanksgiving and do it because it's a holiday. you leave up out this building before you can get out there and start talking about everything else you want to talk about. Give Jesus 5 or 6 or 7 words every once in a while. And maybe the reason you don't have joy is because you're so busy talking about stuff that's no good instead of talking about a God that's all good. Rejoice in the Lord. Amen. If you can't rejoice in him, something wrong with you. May the people of God make a decision because of an eternal dimension to rejoice in the Lord. Father, we love you. Thank you for being God. Oh, help us to hear the pep rally tonight. May we not leave the huddle without the play. Help us to rejoice in the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.